CliffCentral.com.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the O'Neill and Africa Experience.
I can't believe that it's Freaky Friday.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the O'Neill Africa Experience.
She go call disaster, and I am looking for the sister. Jump on my lover, she go follow go again. They call disaster. They give me assurance, yeah. Assurance. Yeah. I give my baby assurance. I give my baby lifetime insurance. Yeah. Assurance.
It's a brand new one from Davido. It's called Assurance. I think possibly one of the biggest artists out of the continent at the moment. But I know Wizkid fans would not necessarily be happy about this. But look, he's one of them. He's one of the biggest artists coming through out of Nigeria. Obviously, this is his latest offering. It's simply titled Assurance. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the O'Neill Africa Experience on a Friday afternoon. My name is O'Neill, and today it doesn't seem as though 37MPH is here joining us, but I'll tell you what, the show is going to be super awesome. We've been trying to get this man in studio for a while now. Look, what I appreciate about this man is that he's a songwriter. There's nothing that gets my panty wet like just a man who is a songwriter. So, yeah, man, in studio today, we'll be joined by Zano Urban, who's going to be talking to us about his career, what he's been up to. The man also grew a beard. So clearly, it's been a while. He's actually one of the favorites here on the show. We've had him on a couple of times, except it was a while back. So we're going to make this one count. The band is here as well. Thank you very much for joining us. We're coming back.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the O'Neill Africa Experience. Welcome back. Welcome back to the O'Neill Africa Experience.
Oh, yes. As promised, we've got Zano in studio today, and the man is standing by. How you doing, bro?
I'm easy, brother. How you doing?
Firstly, let's discuss the beard before we go any further.
I just got tired of shaving, man.
Really?
It's admin. Shaving is a lot of admin. Especially if you're living your life on the street, living your life on the run.
How long did it take you to grow this beard?
Jeez. it's been 2 months, 3 months.
Yeah.
It hasn't been long. Let me tell you, the reason why I grew the beard was because I was doing the Broadway stage musical, The Color Purple.
Oh, nice.
So my character is quite an older man.
Ah, I see.
You know, and I really didn't want to have stuff put on my face. I was like, well, it's just a beard. I can grow a beard instead of having a wig of a beard.
Tell me about that. What was your role like?
So I play the role of Pa. Pa is the father to the lead character, Silly, who, if you've watched the movie, that's the character that is played by Whoopi Goldberg. So you know, it's quite a very hectic character, because it's a very abusive character. But
yeah, by nature,
yeah, by nature, the character abusive, by nature, yeah, is very abusive. And he plays a very integral part in the story between Silly and Mister, who in the play is the husband to the lead, Silly.
I've never been able to understand that. Obviously, you're an actor, I'm not. If you have to play a character, particularly of somebody who is extremely abusive,
yeah,
I can't imagine, where does the motivation come from for you? Where do you draw the inspiration from? Because I imagine you have to dig from a very deep and dark place. And in order to give a sterling performance, you have to look believable.
Look, especially if you're not an abusive guy by nature, you know, then you have to do more research, which is what I did. I mean, every time I do a stage musical, what I normally do is I would just take like a full month of just researching and just.
Do you speak to abusive men?
I don't necessarily speak to abusive men, but I observe a lot of you know, what men are doing.
Behavioral pattern. You
know, unfortunately, we live in a society where that is out in the open.
Yeah,
you know, where abusive people are walking amongst us. So it's not very hard to find characters like that.
Yeah,
and to just sit and just look at their mannerisms, look at how they do things, look at how they talk, and just tap into their psyche, you know, every now and then, because most of them, they don't even realize that they are abusive. Most of them, they grew up in homes where the father or the grandfather was abusive. So as a child growing up in an environment like that, you think that is normal, you know. And obviously, if you're not an abusive person, you just think, no, but that can't be true, you know. If that is your norm, you look at things much more differently. And that's what I tap into as an actor in stage musicals.
What do you take away from a character like that? I imagine it's very demanding emotionally. You obviously have to be present.
Yeah.
And you have to live with this character for an extended period of time. What do you learn as an individual, particularly in a society that is very patriarchal? Not only that, but look, times are extremely violent at the moment. The lesson that you take home when you go home, what is that?
Okay, number one, playing a character like that is emotionally draining. It's very emotionally draining, because every single night, as you say, you have to be present. You cannot necessarily get on stage and act out a character. You know, you have to be the character. You have to be convincing, which is what I think we've been fortunate with when it comes to The Color Purple. The entire cast is just a group of excellent actors and singers. And what I take away from that is the fact that I think with us as men, a lot of us are damaged. And unfortunately, society, whenever it refers to us as men, you know, they usually take it from the top, and you know, the patriarchy, as you say, you know, the way that we treat our women, you know, and we don't necessarily pay attention to the core and the foundation of why men are like that. You know, most of us men are like that because of where we come from, because of the teachings of our fathers, you know. The greatest teacher of any young boy is seeing the father relate to other people, more especially relate to the mother and, you know, the other members of the family. So if the father in a household where you grew up was disrespecting your mother, that would be your norm, right?
Yeah.
If you grew up in a house where your father was beating up your mother, that would be your norm. You wouldn't think of it as wrong. You would look at it and it'd be like, okay, it's normal. So when you have a girlfriend one day and she does something wrong, the first thing you do is you raise your hand, because that is your norm. And I feel like then it poses a challenge to us as men, especially when you have kids, when you have boy kids, when you've got sons and when you have daughters. Then it becomes our responsibility as young men to teach our boys so that we can correct the wrongs of our fathers.
Spoken like a true man. Zano is in studio with us today. We haven't hung out with the man in a while. He's been telling us what he has been up to. But for now, let's get back to the music.
Yeah,
music-wise, where are you at the moment?
Man, at the moment, so music-wise, I took a very long break as an artist, and focused a lot more on the songwriting and on the production. Even took up a post as a lecturer, a songwriting lecturer, for the past 2 years now, at AFDA. Mm-hmm. Which now has a live performance department, so they do, you know, vocals and songwriting, music production. So I lecture songwriting. I've been doing that for the past 2 years, and I've been writing and just producing for other artists. And I just came back now. It's actually literally about what, 3 months ago, with a new single called Ngibambe. And the good news is, Zano, in the next week or two, might be joining one of the biggest record companies in South Africa. Obviously, I can't say it right now because I need the ink to dry on that paper, you know, and for the PR to be lined very well. But it's quite a good time for me to be alive, and I'm able to do my passion, which is singing, which is writing songs, yeah, and being behind the scenes and producing for other acts. And I also get to just live out my dream of being a performer and travel the continent, you know, and travel the world with what I love.
We love it when guys win. But I just want to just spend a little time on writing.
Yeah.
You mentioned you do it at that level. I mean, that's a high level.
Yeah.
Particularly for an industry that seems to be still dragging its feet in as far as appreciation of people who do the work behind the scenes.
Yeah.
What are the do's and don'ts of songwriting?
Songwriting is about, it's very simple. It's all about relatability. Whatever you write has to be relatable to the audience. If you look at all the biggest songs, even if you had to go as far back as the 50s, 60s, 70s, the 80s, all the big songs were relatable. You know, they had subjects that people could relate to, and for me, that is the biggest do and don't at the same time. If you write music that doesn't relate to the people are not going to support it.
Is it demanding?
Songwriting?
Yeah.
I wouldn't say demanding, because I think for me it's a gift. You know, I mean, I started reading. My mom forced me to read at like age, what, 4? Giving me old newspapers, so, and then sitting down and forcing me to sit down and read a column, you know, to her. So I grew up being someone who reads, and I grew up having a command of language at a very young age. And I'm quite observant as a person, you know. So coming up with topics and coming up with themes and coming up with subjects of songwriting, it's a no-brainer for me. I must, however, say that in our SA music industry, we have a massive shortage of great songwriters. We have an influx of amazing producers, young boys that are just killing it. You get 14-year-old boys now, 16-year-old boys that are producing amazing music. You have singers, performers that are incredible. You know, the new generation of performers that are coming up are quite amazing. But you don't have the balance then of the songwriter in the mix, who can be the glue between the production, which is amazing, and the performer, who sounds amazing. You know, and I think for me, that is my niche. That's what I've been focusing on for quite some time. And I think I'm proud to say I've built a good intellectual property catalog, you know, dating back from the days with Lebo Mathosa. Started writing for Lebo Mathosa back in the days. Started doing work with Vinnie Da Vinci, getting on house music compilations and writing original house music. You know, the whole house music, it's a house music movement.
Yeah.
Was basically started by myself and a guy called Bantu Soul. You know, and fast forward to now, you know, working with the guys like Ricky Rick, doing something with DJ Capital now. You know,
layabouts,
you know, T-Way. I've got a huge work base in Angola right now, you know, working with artists on that side of the continent. Nice. You know, building an African empire, you know. Nice. When it comes to the songwriting and the performance, you know. And it's my wish that I am not the only one who takes up songwriting seriously and as something that you know, we can build. I mean, you got guys like Babyface, who dominated the 90s. You got R. Kelly, who dominated. You know, you've got David Foster. You know, you've got a lot of songwriters in the worldwide music industry. And I feel like in Africa right now, since all eyes are on us, we can build amazing songwriters.
So tell me about the consumption patterns, though. Is it the reason why... is the reason why we find ourselves in a struggling place in as far as songwriting due to the fact that the consumption pattern is different? What do people appreciate about music? When people are listening to a body of a song, what do you think we are consuming in the song? Is it the music behind, or is the lyrics, or is the... the tone of the artist? What do you think it is?
I think we're consuming a mood. We're consuming moods when it comes to music. You know, I mean, there's a lot of songs that people listen to and they think, hey, this is foolish, this is stupid. Mm. But people are vibing to it, you know. And it might be because it gets them in a certain mood. You know, when you want to turn up, there's a specific song that you want to listen to. When you want to sit down and just be cool, calm and collected, you know, on a Sunday, having a cocktail, whatever your poison is, there's a certain kind of song or kind of music that you want to listen to. So people consume moods. Hmm. People consume things that touch their present state at that moment, you know. And I feel like as a songwriter, if you're able to tap into that, understanding that there's a spiritual level to the music, and understanding that there's a way to align yourself within that spiritual path of music, you know, then you become an untouchable force, man.
If you're joining us now, we are hanging out with Zanoa in studio, and the man is just, this is a masterclass on songwriting. That's exactly what
I just did one last week. Songwriting masterclass.
Now, I imagine that people with whom you are most comfortable with in studio.
Yeah.
I mean, you've done countless collaborations.
Yeah.
Can you single out one artist or one producer that you truly enjoy working with, and he or she makes working with just a pleasure?
Okay. So I'll do one singer, one producer. One singer would be a female vocalist called Tiwe. Actually, have a very funny story with Tiwe, because the day before, we had just done No Lie, and No Lie, you know, was amazing, was doing very well on radio, was doing well in the radio charts, and I was looking for the next single. So I came up with this idea, a song called Oceans Apart, and I produced the song at home, and then I recorded the chorus and I sent it to her immediately. Now, mind you, this was like 3 in the morning, 3 a.m. And I know Tiwe, Tiwe's like me. I mean, at 3, I'm always awake at 3 for some reason. I'm 3 a.m., between 3 a.m. and 5 a.m., between 3 and 5, I'm always awake. I sent her the track and I was like, yo, write something. At 6, she hits me up and like, yo, I've recorded something. I'm coming to your place to record. Mind you, the day before that, I had another vocalist who name shall not be mentioned. And we were doing a song, and we were recording a verse.
Yeah.
Took us the whole day to record the verse. Because now we had to take it line by line, because for some reason the melody was just too much for the vocalist. And here was I thinking, okay, cool, I need to get some snacks. I need to make sure there's food, because we might just stay here the whole day, because me and her are recording a whole song. Tio rocks up to my house, and she's like, okay, cool, let me just have a sip of water. Let's go to the studio. Let's record this thing before I forget it. And then here I am thinking, okay, we're going to take the whole day and we're going to be chilling there. And we're going to run through this thing, do like 5 takes before we get the right take. I kid you not. She was like, just let it play. Don't stop it. And in one take, she recorded her verse and recorded her bridge parts in one take.
That is
amazing. That session lasted exactly 9 minutes and 37 seconds, because I put a timer. I took my phone and just put a stopwatch on it. It lasted 9 minutes and 37 seconds, and we had a smash hit. We had Oceans Apart, you know, together, and it was an amazing song. And that song just was like one take, and that was it. When it comes to producers, the two young boys from the Eastern Cape who are coming up right now, called Mr. Lou and MSK. And man, those boys are fire. You know, I love their heart. I love their work ethic. I actually met the boys in 2015, and they hit me up on Facebook. They're like, yo, Khutman, we like your music. We got beats. Can we send it to you? And I've got this culture of, if somebody says I got beats, can you listen?
Yeah.
I mean, cool. Just send it. Give me my email. I send through the beats. If I like them, I'll tell you this is dope. If I feel like there's something I need to work on, then I do tell you as well. And I let them know that before I even listen. And I was blown away by this boy's talent, man. You know, and they were very young at the time. And I was like, I want to work with you, you know. And up to this day, their work ethic, their heart, their spirit, you know, man, I love those boys so much. And I mean, they're very quick. I love a quick producer. I love the kind of producer that if I work with, the turnaround of a project doesn't take 6 months. Because some producers, like, you do a song today, you're going to get it a year later because they don't have time.
That seems to be the issue right now, isn't it? Like, we are finding more and more that not all is well behind the scenes. You have producers who are failing to deliver in terms of their turnaround time. You have artists who, if they are not being divas, they're not paying producers, or they just don't acknowledge them at all. That seems to be something that is prevalent at the moment.
I mean, the big question with that is, do they last? You know, because if you look at guys like Pharrell, look at guys like Timbaland, look at guys like Dr. Dre, man, you look at guys like the 808 Mafia, you know, the late Robbie Malinga, who I've had the privilege of working with. You know, you check a lot of these guys, you realize that what kept them on top or what keeps them on top is their work ethic. Mm. And the fact that they don't do this whole thing of this, and I'm sorry to say like this, of like young producers who think just because they are the hottest thing at the moment, then they're going to give everybody a tough time. This is a job. This is work. It's the same thing. It's the same thing as waking up in the morning and going to the office. I don't know why young creatives think just being a creative means that you can just drag your feet. You know, this is a job. In fact, I love, there's a Bible verse, I think it's Proverbs chapter 18, verse 16, that says that your gift will make room for you and it will put you before kings and not in front of obscure men.
Amen.
And something that people don't realize with that is the Bible only says, that verse says your gift will make room for you. It doesn't say your gift will keep you in the room. And that is what young creatives miss, because your gift does make room for you. You get an opportunity to be Cliff Central, you know, to come and work, do your thing. But if you don't have the work ethic to back your gift with, then you will not stay in that room. Worse, you will not be introduced to other rooms that are bigger than the room that you are in at that time. And I just feel like young creatives need to just crack that, man. Because right now, the generation that we have does not believe in work ethic. And this is why you get the same old people still dominating the industry. And then you complain.
I love speaking to this man. He speaks my language. Zano is in studio with us. What are you performing for us today?
Yo, man, I think it's a good thing to start with the song that you know, a lot of people were reintroduced to me by. A song that I did with the Layabouts.
Mm-hmm.
And the song is called No Lie.
No Lie, ladies and gentlemen. Our first performance of the day with Zano. The band is here.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the O'Neal Africa Experience. Welcome back to the O'Neal Africa Experience.
Let's go. Okay, this one goes something like this.
My heart beats for you, my mind thinks about you. Don't shut me down, girl, my heart is exposed. Be a fool for you and pop it on the strings, just so I can get a chance to be with you. Never said I'm perfect, girl, I'm far from it, but this right here, me and you, is perfect. You can fly to Venus, hide in the ocean. Whatever it takes, girl, I will make you mine. Whatever it takes, anything I gotta do,
Just say the word, whatever it takes, anything I gotta do. Oh, my love is no lie, babe. Whatever it takes, I will make you mine. My love is no lie, babe. No lie, no lie. No lie, no lie. Hey, my love is no lie, babe. Whatever it takes, I will make you mine. My love is no lie, baby. No lie, no lie. No lie, no lie. No lie, no lie. Colors, colors of love. Let me show you colors of love. Colors, colors of love. Let me show you, yeah, yeah. I'm not one for fairy tales, babe, but I do believe in happily ever after. Not much of a dreamer, babe. All I know is I need you in my reality. We cannot deny I'm your Adam, you're my Eve. Take the fall for you as long as I'm with you. You're the perfect melody to my song. Give my heart to you. Oh, whatever it takes. Anything I gotta do, just say the word, whatever it takes. Anything I gotta do, my love is no lie, babe. Whatever it takes, I will make you mine. My love is no lie, babe. No lie, no lie, no lie, no lie. My love is no lie. Takes, I will make you mine. My love is no lie, babe. No lie, no lie. No lie, no lie. My love is no lie, babe. Whatever it takes, I will make you mine. My love is no lie, babe. No lie, no lie. No lie, no lie. My love is no lie. Whatever it takes, I will make you mine. Oh, my love is no lie, babe. No lie, no lie. No lie, no lie. No lie, no lie. No, yeah, I'm pleased. I really dig your company. Your style, your smile, your peace mentality. Lord, have mercy on me. I was blind, now I can see. What a queen's supposed to be. Baby, I feel free. Come on and roll with me. You're here. I'm pleased. I really dig your company. Your style, your smile, your peace mentality. Oh, by the way, baby, mama, other than the way. Oh, let's take a long walk around the park after dark. Find a spot for us to spark conversation, memory lane, stimulation. Share our situation, temptation, elevation, relaxation, elevation. Maybe we can talk about Revelation 3:17. Let's take a long walk around the park of the dark. Find a spot for us to spark conversation, memory lane, stimulation. Share our situation, temptation, elevation, relaxation, elevation. Maybe we can talk about Revelation 3:17, Revelation 3:17.
Yeah, ne. You just took me to a smoky bar.
Yeah.
That's what music is supposed to do, supposed to transport you.
Man, that's absolutely amazing. That was stunning.
Thanks a lot, man. I appreciate
you. Are a spiritual person.
Yeah, definitely.
Talk to me about that side of you.
Look, man, that side of me is very important because I really feel that everything that I am and everything that I am attached to and everything that I'm becoming is directly linked to God, you know, and my ancestors. You know, I'm the kind of person, you know, sometimes I know we have this religious talk and people are like, you know, our African spirituality, that doesn't matter, you know. But I truly believe that as Africans, we have always worshipped God, you know, and we have always honored our ancestors. And, you know, sometimes it's just, you know, we tend to confuse things, obviously, because of where we come from as a people and what we've been told is wrong from what we've been doing. You know, I think as Africans, we've always had the connection. I always make a joke and I say, you'll never go to a white church and then find an altar call and find a white pastor going fire, 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 and people are falling. You always get that in a black church, you know. and I always say the reason is because Africans are very spiritual beings. You know, when they tap into that spiritual place, man, they go deep, you know. And yeah, man, so like for me, the spirituality is very important, you know. I worship God, you know. I honor my ancestors all the time, and I'm always of the knowledge and understanding that I'm a direct representation of my lineage. I'm a direct representation of, you know, my history, of my family, you know, and I carry my family name with pride, you know, you know, and you know, that is a great nation, you know, a Sebkosin, a great nation of kings, a great nation of royalty, you know, and I carry that with me all the time, knowing that I don't just have a surname attached to me, but it is a rich and diverse history that I carry with me, and that I help to grow with every living day that I breathe on this earth.
How do you deal with frustrations?
Yo, man, frustrations. That's a subject that's very close to home, no? Because about three years ago, I had a heavy bout of depression, you know, and the depression was brought about by frustration, you know, by the stress of the industry that I'm in, you know, by the stress of putting too much pressure on myself, you know, and by not being at peace, you know, and it was so bad that I was actually admitted to a psychiatric ward, you know, true story, you know. And I mean, that's a thing that a lot of creatives are battling with: frustration, depression, stress. And creatives are very good at hiding their frustrations. They're very good at hiding depression, you know, because you don't want anyone to know that you're going through that. It's as if we take it as a sign of weakness, you know. But you know, about a year ago, I started really just getting onto a personal journey of just seeking peace within myself. You know, and seeking a place of stillness where the numbers don't matter. I don't care about the numbers. I don't care whether I'm number one or I'm number 100 in line. I don't care about who's the best. I don't care about who's the biggest. Every day I wake up in the morning, and this is how I've fought frustration, I think, for the past year. And I've been on a winning path since then. Mm. Every morning I wake up with the knowledge that I actually wake up and do what I love. Finish and klaar. I don't get up in the morning and then go do something else to subsidize what I want to do as a passion. I actually am living my passion. You know, I'm teaching, I'm lecturing, which speaks directly to empowering young creatives, which speaks directly to sharing the knowledge that I've accumulated, that I've acquired over the years as a writer and as a creative working proactively in the music industry. I share the knowledge with young creatives so that they can, you know, carry the baton forward. I wake up every morning and I have a studio at my place, and I work, I produce, I write for artists. I get paid by labels to do that. And I also earn intellectual property, and I build a catalog for myself.
Nice.
I wake up every morning knowing that I can travel the entire continent. Just came back from Angola this past weekend, you know. And I know I've traveled extensively, you know. And there's people who, for the kind of life that I'm living, you know, they wake up in the morning and they go to jobs they don't like, to face people that they don't like, and then try to please people that don't like them with material things that don't matter, you know. So
that is powerful. That is, In fact, that is sobering. Speaking of that, I just want to talk to you about social media, the role of social media in our lives today in relation to depression.
Yeah.
And just this turmoil that we find ourselves in.
Yeah.
And by turmoil, I'm referring to the emotional space we seem, the collective emotional space we seem to find ourselves a lot of the times.
Yeah.
The role of social media to you. How do you think it's lending its hand to the situation?
So I liken social media to a gun, right? When a gun was developed, the person or the people that developed guns didn't intend it for what guns are being used for right now. Guns are supposed to be used by certain people for a specific reason. And one of those specific reasons was to keep peace, was not to make war. And guns are freely available now. They can be used by anyone. You watch CNN, you watch Sky News, you watch BBC, and you see these American kids going to pawn shops and buying guns and then going to school and shooting people. Social media is exactly like that. In fact, I even took a break from social media. You know, I deleted my Twitter page. And people think that's like, people are like, no, but why? It's your business. I'm like, no, it's not my business. My only promise to the industry is the music. I don't want to go to every ribbon cutting in Joburg. I don't want to go to every PR event. That's not me. And this is who I am. I'm a fanboy from Mbalele, you know, in the Mpumalanga province. And I take pride in that, about where I come from, because that's my history, that's my heritage, and that built my character, you know. Social media right now is a very negative space, because what happens is everybody puts their highlight reel. Nobody puts their struggles. It's like the whole debate of entrepreneurship, and people are saying, yo, we need to be entrepreneurs, and people don't talk about how hard being an entrepreneur is. And people don't talk about how you can actually get sick, you know, from being an entrepreneur, you know. Social media lends a very big hand in depressing people, because also those who come across as successful, then they flash their success in your face. They don't build you to show you how you can also get to their level, but they come to you and they flash their possessions at you and they say, look at where I am and look at where you are. And this is why everybody's talking about they've got haters. And I'm like, you don't have haters. Keep quiet. You don't have haters. Just stay in your lane. Do your job. Do your thing. Succeed. Prosper. You'd be blessed in your lane, you know. But then don't accumulate the riches and think that now everybody else doesn't matter, you know. Rather, I feel like we should be teaching each other and uplifting each other, show each other how we got to where we are, you know. Mm-hmm. I think there was even a study, you know, that was conducted talking about depression and social media and the role that social media plays in depression. And if you look, more and more younger people are getting depressed. You get a 21-year-old depressed about their life, and you're like, what are you doing? You're 21. Why are you depressed about your future? You're only 21. You get a 19-year-old getting depressed about about success. And it's like,
isn't it ironic though that social media, the role that it plays, it is so dangerous that you could come from a place of peace being your home.
Yeah.
And go and find yourself depressed on social media.
Of course.
Which has no bearing whatsoever on how you are raised or how you live your life at home. You are fine. You've got a solid foundation. But you go and pick up depression on social media.
Of course. It is very dangerous, because remember that also one of the things that social media perpetuates and really promotes is competition.
Unhealthy competition.
Unhealthy competition. Because there's this thing that I'm competing with you, I'm better than you, I'm this and that. And I'm of the notion that, man, the cake is big. Secondly, you don't focus on what someone else is doing. Focus on bettering yourself in the line and the stream where you are called for. We are all called for something. We're all called for a higher purpose. You know, I always say, maybe with me, my calling is not necessarily music, but maybe my calling is using the music to get to big public platforms and talk to people and heal people. You know, I speak to the soul of man, and I think that is my calling. It's not the music. The music is the means to an end. The music is the means to get me to the people so that they can give me the attention and listen to me. Because what the world needs now, what these kids need right now, what South Africans need right now, what Africans need right now, what the whole world needs right now is the healing of the soul. People are broken out there. People are really, really, really broken. Social media, more especially, you know, just plays a role where it just breaks you. You could have been the most happiest and the most content person in your ekasi, you know, or in your flat or wherever. And then you go on social media, and then all of a sudden now you also want a mention. You also want the fast car. You also want the money phone, which is on Instagram, you know. And you know, and like I mean, your ancestors are looking at you and like, what are you doing? Like your path is bigger than that, but you need to follow. There's always a path to follow, you know, and we all have our own unique paths, and I feel like that is what we should be concentrating on rather than trying to compete with everybody for their piece of the pie.
Zano is here with us. Final performance, what are you performing for us?
So I'm gonna do a song called Mbambe, which is the latest single. So I mean, remember I told you that I took a year off just to find myself as well as a performer, just to find myself within the purpose of what I'm doing, and just to find and to coin a sound which I would like, you know, to be represented by, maybe like for the next, what, 5-7 years. And you know, I meshed up house music with Afro soul and Afro pop, and just took down the tempo, you know. And I think we've got a winner. I think we've got something that can work, you know. And the beautiful thing is I'm not running in a lane. It's got a lot of people in it.
Nice.
That's the beauty of being a songwriter, you know, who's been around and who checks.
You can pioneer your own path.
You pioneer your own path, and others can follow, you know. But I think I prefer being a pioneer.
Nice.
over trying to follow what's been done.
All right, so here we go.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the O'Neill Africa Experience. Welcome back. Welcome back to the O'Neill Africa Experience.
I can't believe that it's Freaky Friday.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the O'Neill Africa Experience.
This one is simply called Mbamba. You ready, guys? All right. Let's go. 1, 2, 3.
Someone said fairy tales are illusions. I must be trapped in a storybook. It's beautiful. Nyasfela, nyasfela, nyasfela. Oh, nyasfela, nyasfela, nyasfela. Nyastandela, tandela, tandela. Nyastandela, tandela, tandela. Oza, umusumba mbekanjena. Iphela yonke kani iphuma yonke imali umusumba bekanjena Ela ndodobeo umusumba bekanjena Iphela yonke kani umusumbi zudali umusumba bekanjena
Let's go to verse 2.
Maybe we could start a revolution. Maybe we could be the revolution, babe. Maybe show them this is no illusion. Utando, ayutando. Yes, fela, yes, fela, yes, fela. Oh, yes, fela, yes, fela, yes, fela. Yes, tandela, tandela, tandela. Yes, tandela, tandela.
Amazing things, man. We are still hanging out in studio with Zeno, who just gave us... Wow. Goosebumps. That's exactly what you just gave us. You seem to... Look, you're obviously very passionate about what you do. I mean, it's evident when you perform. You just lose yourself. And it doesn't seem like you... There isn't much of a structure. It's almost like you just allow the music to just carry you through, and you just go on your performance. And it's very evident. Very few people are able to do that. And I want to, you know, just big up to you for that.
No, thank you very much, Ben.
Big up to you for that. What are you working on at the moment? What are you up to? Any exciting projects that you're involved with?
Yes. So right now, I'm in the studio at the farm. I'm recording my album at a farm in Witbank.
Nice.
There's a homeboy of mine there, you know, and it's like he plots a gogo, you know, like Gogo's farm there. And we built a studio out there at the farm, and it's far and it's quiet and the sky is clear. You can see the stars when you go out. You can see the moon. It's not a heavily polluted side of Witbank. It's actually a place called Kluwa.
Okay.
Just before with Bank. And we're planning to drop the album in September of this year. And I'm quite excited about that album because the last time I dropped an album was 2015. You know, I'm one of those people as well who don't like dropping an album year after year. Mm-hmm. Because I always think and believe that you gotta have a story to tell when you are releasing a body of work.
Yeah.
You can't just release a body of work just because there's pressure or just because you think the bookings are going down. Which is another thing that, you know, I'm very happy about, the fact that I diversified my brand earlier in my career, you know, so I can afford to not do music
to take breaks.
Afford to take breaks, you know, and just do other things within the entertainment space. So we dropped the album 2018. We are scheduled to finish probably like end of July, you know, go to Missing and Mustering in the month of August, then drop in September. I'm excited about that project. The second thing I think that's very exciting is I spoke about Angola earlier, you know. And I mean, right now I've got probably the biggest Afro house song in Angola. Mm. I did with one of the big DJs there called DJ Silly V, you know, and there's a lot of festivals that we're doing there. So what I've always wanted, which is, you know, just to build a footprint out of South Africa and into other African countries, especially seeing that all eyes are on the continent right now. Everybody's looking to us for content. Everybody's looking to us for creativity. And, you know, we are also learning the business so that in the process we don't sell ourselves short.
Nice.
You know, because I think as Africans, one of our weaknesses is the fact that whenever we look at things that come from outside of our continent, they are glamorized and we think they are better than ours. You know, and I'm glad that as creatives we get into a space where we realize our power and where we are really just taking advantage of our gifts, of our talent, and of our creative industry, you know. So those are the two things: the fact that I'm building a footprint outside of the country, you know, which is quite amazing. Literally every month we are in a different African country, which is a beautiful thing for me. Mm. You know, and the album that is dropping in September called "Leave a Message After the Beep."
Beep. I see. I like that. So, are you releasing it under any particular label?
Remember I said that in a week or two from now,
so you should be recording.
I'm gonna be dropping
that was a
news.
Trick.
I know tricks. I can see them from a mile away. You know, there's a this last song that I just performed in Mbambe. I dropped it independently, and then we got a call from someone who I respect a lot in the music industry. And he's heading one of the biggest major record labels right now in the country. You know, and I mean, their track record since he came into the company is amazing. And the fact that he decided to give me a call and was like, "Yo, we'd like to work. I'd like to take over the song, and I'd like to, you know, put an album out for you." I was like, "Great, exciting! Let's talk the numbers." You know, and that is just what we are tightening now. You know, but definitely in a week from now, the most 2 weeks. We will put an announcement, you know. I definitely can come here and like just to drop a young exclusive nyan and say, so I know is doing business with so and so.
Exactly. Zano, we love what you do, man. Continue spreading the word, continue teaching, and more importantly, bearing your soul. I think you exert yourself beyond the music.
Yeah.
Which is, I think, what most of artists are or should be. You are conduits and you're champions of change. So we truly appreciate you. And for me, I think what I appreciate more is the fact that from the last interview we had together to now, there's a significant growth that has taken place. And I can only be proud for that. Thank you very much for sharing yourself with us.
No, thank you very much, mate. I really appreciate that, you know. And I mean, let us also, you know, in the same breath, just drive home the fact that, you know, as Africans, man, we won.
Yeah.
You know, I feel that is what we need, especially in this country, to just realize that we are not alone, man. You know, we are South Africa is not a continent. You know, you still hear people from here saying, "Hey, so and so comes from Africa," and you're like, "But you are here, chief. You are also here." You know, so And I mean, I know that Cliff Central, you know, there's people from all over the continent that are listening to it, you know. Let us drive the point home that Africa is one, and that if we can come together, man, we can be a force that can never be stopped.
Zano, ladies and gentlemen. And we are playing out with Ricky Rick, hanging out with Zano. It's called Zandela. We will be back again next week, Friday, from myself and the rest of the team, as well as my producer, Palesa. Much love to all of you guys.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the O'Neal Africa Experience.
I can't believe that it's Freaky Friday.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the O'Neal Africa Experience.